He said I was his queen, that he'd build an empire with me. But when it all crumbled, I was the one left in the ruins. My name smeared, my life shattered, and him, untouched. This is my story, the one they tried to bury. The story of how he broke me, then blamed me. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. They say the streets of Kingston remember everything. And I used to think I was one of the lucky ones who could walk them untouched. Just a girl with a little perfume, a tight skirt, and ambition leaking through every smile. But you know what they don't tell you? Charm can be a disguise. Power wears perfume too. And sometimes the person pulling you in with compliments already has the blade to cut you loose. My name's Shauna. 29. Born in August Town. Raised by a mother who worked two jobs and a grandmother who read psalms like they were secret codes. I was always the bright girl. Pretty enough to get noticed, sharp enough to hold my own. But not sharp enough to see him coming. His name was Andre Hart. But everyone called him CO. Even back then. He wasn't corporate. Not officially. He ran what he called a marketing firm, out of a glass front office near Halfway Tree. But in Kingston, when a man in Clark's shoes whispers about market dynamics, and you never see a product sold, it's not about products. It's about people. I met him at an event in New Kingston. One of those rooftop mixers full of fake business cards and real manipulation. I was doing promotions at the time. Wearing red. Tight dress. Smile on cue. He watched me from the bar like he already owned me. Not in a creepy way, not yet. Just calculated. Like a man who knew the value of body language, posture, presence. You're the kind of woman empires fall for, he said the first time we spoke. And you're the kind who builds them? I smiled. He laughed. Or burns them down. That night he didn't ask for my number. He gave me a phone. A whole damn phone. Said, this is a direct line. You'll only use it for me. I should have known from that moment he didn't ask. He assigned. Over the next few weeks, my life shifted like sand under pressure. Andre introduced me to a world I didn't even know existed. Not uptown. Not ghetto. Something else. Shadowed secrets and soft leather backseats. This is the lab, he'd say, walking me into meetings where no one looked at their phones but everyone left with instructions. He said I had true body intelligence. The way I moved, the way I read people, the way I made men underestimate me. He called me his social weapon. He started training me in persuasion techniques, NLP language patterns, cognitive psychology, and something he called ethical marketing. But it wasn't ethical. It was engineering stories to reshape reputations. Whisper campaigns. Fake social media outrage. Emotional infiltration. He taught me how to spin a breakup, destroy a rival's credibility, plant ideas in people's heads without them even knowing. It was intoxicating. But somewhere in the rush, I stopped seeing what was real and what was performance. He told me I was his secret weapon, but only in private. Publicly, I was just a girl he knew from the past. That's when the gaslighting started. One minute, I was the queen of the operation. The next, I was imagining things. And the first time I caught him in a lie, a woman's bracelet on the dresser in his server room apartment, he didn't deny it. He laughed. You're a tool, Shauna. Don't fall in love with the hand that uses you. The thing is, I should have walked away. But when someone teaches you how to manipulate reality, you forget what truth feels like. And when they pull you in with a mix of power and pain, your mind starts racing with what-ifs and maybe-it's-me's. By the time I realized I was no longer part of the plan, I was the exit strategy. You don't forget the first time you ruin someone. Not for a good cause. Not in self-defense. But because someone you love told you it was necessary. Andre said her name was Camille Ellis. An uptown lawyer. Early 30s. She was blocking a land deal he had brewing in Portmore. Something involving offshore accounts, a shady real estate trust, and a shell company named X&O Holdings. I didn't ask questions. Not then. Because when Andre looked at me and said, "You're the only one I trust with this," I mistook that for love. He gave me a dossier in a manila envelope. Like I was some kind of spy. Photos of Camille at brunch. Her license plate. Her son's school. Notes in his handwriting. Triggers. control, motherhood, validation. At the bottom, use her ethics against her. This was psychological warfare. I knew it, but a sick part of me felt powerful, the student becoming the weapon. My mind was racing with persuasive tactics, mitigation techniques, influence psychology. I wasn't just a girlfriend anymore. I was the machinery behind the scenes. And somewhere between obsession and duty, I lost myself. The plan was subtle. We crafted a fake women's empowerment group online, Celestial Insights, Female Leaders of Influence. With AI-generated images and carefully curated bios, we made it look like a legitimate Caribbean think tank. Camille got an invite. We knew she would bite. Andre said, "Smart women never resist being seen as smarter." I played the role of founder. I built rapport with Camille using language tools, mirroring her tone, referencing law reviews she'd written, creating an emotional bond around ethical standards and women in power. I sent her hand-signed letters, spoke of influence mastery and psychological principles of leadership. Then slowly I began weaving in doubt. Private DMs, voice notes, made up claims that she was being targeted by her own firm, that whispers were circling, that she should prepare. Andre gave me everything, the photos, the dirt, the names of people to mention just convincingly enough. And I delivered it, drip by poisonous drip. It worked. Camille submitted a leave of absence for mental clarity and emotional preservation. Within a week, the land deal went through. Andre made millions. Me. I was given a new pair of designer heels and a night in Ocho Rios to relax the queen. But I couldn't sleep. Not because I felt guilt. Not yet. But because I realized I had just erased a woman. A real woman, with nothing but a fake Instagram page and a carefully engineered story. And I was good at it. Too good. That night, alone in the hotel bathroom, I stared into the mirror and whispered, "This is who you are now." But the truth was louder. This wasn't me. This was him inside me. The tools he gave me. The language. The psychology tips. The ability to make people believe anything. They weren't gifts. They were weapons. And I was holding the barrel against the world. But the trigger? That was always his finger. 3 weeks later, I found out Camille had checked herself into a wellness center in Mandeville. No charges. No scandal. Just gone. Vanished from public life. That's when I started to ask, what did we just do? And Andre's answer? We engineered success. That's leadership, Shauna. Welcome to the ruthless world. I stopped being a girlfriend that day. I became a tool. A server. A backup plan with a heartbeat. I stayed. Because the deeper you go into manipulation, the harder it is to remember what freedom even looks like. You ever feel like the floor beneath you is still there, but somehow you're falling anyway? That's what it felt like. Not all at once. Not a cliff. A slope. A slow, calculated slide into the part of yourself you swore you'd never become. After Camille, Andre changed the game on me. He started pulling back. Not just physically. Mentally. Emotionally. But not in the ways most men disappear. No, this was a strategic withdrawal. A kind of social manipulation that makes you doubt what you felt even when you were there. He didn't vanish. He echoed. Like a voice in a big empty room. I'd walk into his apartment, the one with the matte black walls and the cold-ass server room humming behind his bookshelf, and find him staring at screens half-naked, mumbling about market dynamics and signal intercepts. "You were supposed to meet me at the cafe," I said one night. He blinked like he just woke up. "We never said that." I showed him the message. He laughed. "That's your other boyfriend then. Maybe you should ask him." It was subtle. Surgical. Like he was playing with my cognitive psychology just to see how far he could bend it before it snapped. And every time I got close to confronting him, every time I felt the heat of truth building, he'd flip the script. He'd touch my face. Kiss my collarbone. Whisper, "Don't you trust me, Shauna? After all we've built." And just like that, I'd fold. He started controlling my time. My phone would ping with calendar invites from fake clients. Then he'd say I was overreacting when I told him I felt overwhelmed. He'd say I was emotional, overstimulated, impossible to manage. He'd say, "Maybe you're not built for this level of operation." So I doubled down. Started studying again. Influence techniques, group behavior, psychological warfare. I even went back to some of his old audio files labeled PS1. a twisted archive of case studies he kept from women he'd used before me. Voices like mine. Soft, eager, desperate to please. I should have run. But I didn't. Because by now I wasn't chasing love. I was chasing redemption. I wanted to prove I was worth the risk he never actually took. The first big shift came when I started noticing patterns. His clothes smelled like perfume I didn't wear. His Wi-Fi history was wiped clean every night. And his favorite leather journal, the one he guarded like it was encrypted gold, had my name written in the corner of a page I wasn't meant to see. Shauna, leverage / emotional hinge / volatile asset. Volatile asset. That's all I was to him. One night I confronted him. I walked into the server room, shut the door behind me, and dropped the journal at his feet. He didn't flinch. Just sat there, lit by the blue glow of 4 flat screens, calm like he rehearsed this. "You read my private files?" he said. "You lied to me," I snapped. "I trained you," he replied. "And clearly you've learned." He stood up slow. Walked toward me like he was walking toward prey, not to kill it but to remind it who built the cage. "You're addicted to control, Shauna," he said. "The same control I gave you. Now you hate me because you can't separate who you were from who I made you." I wanted to scream. That I stood there. Quiet. Hold. My body screaming while my lips stayed shut. Because when someone rewires your identity through subtle abuse, you don't recognize the violence. Until you're too deep inside it. Later that night, I found a burner phone in his closet. On it, a text thread from a woman named Hidden Mistress. "Let her spiral. She'll bury herself soon enough." That's when I knew. I wasn't just being used. I was being documented. The next setup wasn't professional. It was personal. And I was about to become the story he told. When things got messy. When someone decides to erase you, they don't start with violence. They start with whispers. They start with doubt. Nandre. He was a master of curated tales. By the time I realized what was happening, my name was already in mouths I never kissed. My image distorted through group chats, voice notes, and twisted digital fingerprints. It wasn't just betrayal. It was engineering. I saw it unfold like a slow leak in a sealed room. No explosion, just the suffocating weight of perception shifting against me. And the worst part? I couldn't trace the source. Because the fingerprints weren't his. They were mine. He'd already built the narrative. It started with a text from my cousin Nia. "Girl, are you okay? I heard you broke into his place." I laughed. Thought she was joking. Then another message. "A coworker. Word is you pulled a knife on him. I hope that's not true." Then, silence. People stopped replying. Work dried up. Even the women from our Celestial Insights network, the one we used to destroy Camille, went ghost. Andre had activated the script. He was using every technique we once used together. Against me. Digital manipulation. Deepfakes. Screen recordings cut and sewn into a false narrative. Screenshots of things I never said. Audio files I never recorded. A blurred photo of me outside his gate. Aggressive, unhinged, emotionally unstable. I saw myself becoming the character he designed. Volatile asset. And when I confronted him, he flipped it like always. "You're spiraling, Shauna. It's textbook. You're trying to self-sabotage and frame me in the process. This is why I kept the files. For protection." Protection. That's what he called it. The folder on his laptop labeled Mitigation Techniques / Shauna Thomas. Inside. Photos of me crying, clips of our arguments recorded without my knowledge. A forged email from me admitting to stalking him. "Insurance," he said. "In case you became a liability." The next day, police came to my apartment. Not to arrest me, but to question me. About unwanted digital communication, about erratic behavior, about a man named Andre Hart who claimed he was in fear for his safety. I looked at them. Two clean-shaved officers from Halfway Tree, standing in my living room like they were casing it for something more. And I said, "Has he shown you the messages?" One of them flipped through a printed WhatsApp thread. It was my name. My number. My picture. But not my words. That's when I realized he had access to my iCloud backup. He had everything. My voice notes. My screen recordings. My memories. This wasn't just a smear campaign. It was a digital assassination. I started spiraling. I lost my lease within 2 weeks. Landlord said there were disturbances. never gave specifics. My bank account froze over a flagged wire transfer I never made. An old friend blocked me after seeing leaked footage of me in a hotel with a married politician. Edited, timed, manipulated. Every piece of my life was dissolving under the weight of fabricated evidence. Andre was hosting a panel on ethical leadership in digital marketing at a tech conference in Montego Bay. Smiling in suits. Shaking hands with influencers. Posting quotes about trust and honesty with golden hour lighting. I stood outside the venue that night. In the dark. Watching from across the street. I had nothing. No team. No voice. Just a shaking body and a bleeding heart. And the knowledge that everything he built using my hands. But I wasn't just grieving the relationship. I was grieving the version of me I'd become trying to keep it alive. Because the truth is, I wasn't innocent. I'd helped him build the tools, shape the lies, engineer the collapses. Now I was just another character in the story of his success. Another woman broken. Another name buried beneath his empire. They say when a woman has nothing left to lose, she becomes dangerous. That's not true. She becomes clear. Clarity doesn't come in a scream. It comes in silence. When the mind stops racing and the noise of survival gives way to a different voice. A colder one. One that doesn't beg. One that doesn't flinch. After Andre took everything, my work, my voice, my name, I disappeared. Not into fear. Into strategy. Into what he taught me. He built me as a weapon. Now I would finish the job. I moved in with a friend in Stony Hill. A quiet apartment at the top of a hill, past the tangled wires and barking dogs. It was the first time I'd slept without sirens or paranoia in weeks. I stayed offline. Burned the old SIM. Lived in hoodies in silence. And then I started my own archive. If he wanted to erase me digitally, I would return the favor. But with something he never expected. Testimony. Real names. Real stories. Real evidence. Remember Hidden Mistress? I found her. Took 2 weeks. A friend of a friend of a woman Andre once ghosted. Her name was Janine. She was me before me. She told me about the offshore accounts he moved her money into. The fake nonprofit he used to launder donations. The revenge porn threat. The same emotional breakdown gaslighting the false protection folder. He still had screenshots. Voice notes. She kept them for insurance. Turns out I wasn't the first woman he tried to bury. Just the first who came back with a shovel. I reached out to another woman, Andrea. A former PR rep turned ghost. He'd used her to seed fake articles. Buried bylines, she called them. Articles designed to push smear campaigns. I showed her the files Janine gave me. Her hands shook. She agreed to help me. Together, we built Exposure Protocol, an encrypted folder hosted offshore, backed up in 3 continents, containing every scrap of Andre's digital fingerprints. We cataloged payment logs to fake marketing bots, server room blueprints for data harvesting, recordings of his leadership psychology sessions, where he taught men to engineer collapse in emotional women. We gathered testimonies, financial trails, call logs. We engineered his end. But I didn't want to destroy him in silence. I wanted him to watch it unravel, just like he made me watch mine. So I pitched the story anonymously to a freelance journalist in Kingston known for investigating corruption. She was skeptical at first, until I dropped one sentence into her inbox. Ask Andre Hart about Project XNO and the folder labeled Volatile Assets. Her response came within hours. Meet me tomorrow. Bring the files. Bring your truth. The day we met, I wore red. Like I did the night Andre first called me a queen. But I wasn't dressing for power this time. I was dressing for war. The article went live 3 weeks later. Title: The Empire of Influence. Inside the Mind of Jamaica's Most Dangerous Social Engineer. It spread like wildfire. Instagram. Twitter. WhatsApp groups. Reddit threads. Voice notes from women I'd never met poured into burner accounts. One of them wrote, "I thought I was crazy. Now I know I was just his product." Andre responded like a true con artist. He denied. Deflected. Spun it as a hit job by bitter exes. But this time, no one believed him. Because his voice, once so commanding, now echoed with fear. Because this time we had the server room. He hasn't been arrested. Yet. Men like Andre rarely wear cuffs, they wear masks. But his brand is ruined. his speaking engagements canceled. His name is poison in digital marketing circles. And the women, we're still building, still organizing, still remembering every whispered instruction he ever gave. They say when you expose a manipulator, it sets others free. That's not true either. It only sets you free. But sometimes, that's enough. 3 years later, I saw him again. Not on purpose. Not by invitation. He walked into the cafe in Ligany like nothing had ever happened. Same gait. Same smirk. Wearing a crisp linen shirt, loafers, sunglasses pushed up on his head like a man untouched by consequence. But time had touched him. Not physically, no limp, no gray hairs. Just hollowness. The kind manipulators get when no one's left to admire them. I had already paid. My laptop was zipped. I was ready to leave. But something in me, something unburied and unfinished, said stay. He didn't notice me at first. Until I said his name. Andre. He turned like someone had dropped a weapon on the table. And when he saw me, he froze. Just for a second. Then the performance kicked in. He smiled. Sat down. No permission. No apology. Just the same old confidence. But this time it didn't move me. You look well, he said, scanning me for weakness. Heard you became quite the influencer. I became something, I said. He leaned in, eyes narrowing. You got your revenge. You happy now? That word, revenge, used to light a fire in me. But now it sounded small. No, I said. Because you were never the goal. I was. He sat back quiet. I wasn't trying to destroy you, Andre, I continued. I was trying to resurrect myself. You just happened to be standing in the way. He tried to laugh. Failed. You think anyone cares now? He said. It's old news. Attention spans are short. Nobody remembers the articles. They remember the headlines. And mine was never guilty. That's where you're wrong, I said. The women remember. The women you trained. The ones who watched their reputations collapse in slow motion. We remember the server room, Andre. The whispers. The mitigation techniques. The files labeled after our names. His face twitched. You built an empire on human dynamics and emotional warfare. But you forgot the one law that can't be engineered. Truth always lingers. It doesn't need likes. It doesn't need followers. It just needs time. He didn't speak after that. He just sat there watching me. Not the way he used to. Not like prey, but like a ghost looking at the living. A man who lost his weapon, and now had to meet what he tried to erase. I stood to leave. But before I walked away, I leaned down and said, "You taught me how to erase people. But I learned how to restore myself. That's the version of me you never accounted for." Then I walked. Out into the Kingston sun. Past the schoolgirls in uniforms. Past the men selling newspapers with his name no longer on them. Past the street where we first kissed. Past the version of me that still needed closure. Because healing doesn't come with justice. It comes with clarity. And clarity is permanent.